Hello, everybody. My name is Kevin Klossen-Gidos. I am 32 years old, and today I am with my delightful friend, Miss the one and only Ashley Edwards.
Hi.
Hello. And it's the 3rd, January 3rd, 2020, and we are here in beautiful Irvine, California at Stories from the OC, and Ashley and I are longtime friends. Yeah. And so maybe let's talk about the first time we may or may not remember meeting one another.
Oof. Okay. I'm going to have to think a minute.
Well, okay, let's maybe go back. Let's set the context of where we would have met.
Okay. So Kevin and I went to the illustrious Oxford Academy through 7th and 12th grade. So, yeah, I know we weren't in the same cluster.
No. We have to explain what cluster was.
Oh, cluster. Cluster was a meeting of the minds. Cluster was
It was like a homeroom, basically.
Yeah.
Like, so we would have like the same cohort of people in a class, and you would, through all the different years of junior high and high school, we would have that same group together, and we would get announcements, and if there was an emergency, we would all meet together at in the field.
Yeah, kind of like your home base.
Yeah, kind of like your home school.
Yeah.
And then we had this cool thing called enrichment.
Enrichment.
Which was basically, I wouldn't call it free time, but it was like, it was our opportunity to plan our schedules during the day. And so we would sign out to a classroom where we needed extra help or if we needed to work on a group project. And then we would go to that class and do or not do work.
Kind of a free period, but like not supposed to be a free period.
It would be like the class where you could like study for the test that you had the next period or do other things.
Yeah. Wait, who'd you have for cluster again?
We were in the same cluster with Hoshi and then Miss PC.
Did I have PC?
What?
Miss Fisher at one time?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh my god. Why don't I remember this?
I remember you. Apparently you don't remember me. That's cool.
I don't not remember you. I just don't remember a lot of
Do you remember
stuff
Renee? Renee was there.
Ugh, I remember Renee. but vaguely in my cluster. I don't remember. I don't have a lot of cluster memories.
Do you remember James? James was there.
What is wrong with me?
Wow.
I must have blocked out a lot of my cluster time. What happened in cluster? I remember we got passed around. Our cluster class.
So it goes. So it would have been in our formative years as teenagers. Maybe 13, probably.
Yeah, 12 or 13.
13. I remember, I think maybe the earliest memory I have, specific memory, we had history class together in 8th grade. And we sat close to one another. And I remember I remember, don't hate me for this, but you not being fully engaged in the class.
Oh, for sure. That sounds spot on.
It's like, Ashley, you need to do your homework.
I wasn't what you would call a model student.
You were a student.
I was a student. I am an intelligent human, but school did not interest me.
Well, you know, we all peak and blossom at different points in our lives.
I peaked. I have not peaked yet, but I blossomed after high school.
I think
sure.
I peaked when I was 14.
Get out of here.
That was, I guess, one of my earliest memories. I think I may have gone to one of your early birthday parties. I don't remember being invited to many of them, and so the ones that I did get invited to were memorable. So I do remember that. I remember going to a park, maybe. There's a park involved.
My mom she's the queen of birthday parties. This is why I am the way I am now. I love birthdays. If people don't love birthdays, I make it my mission for them to love it, because I'm like, I think I'm just full of wonderment. And I'm this is the day you were born.
Oh, my God.
And so my mom always, growing up, she, just it was a big blowout. It was like a roller skating rink or a park. Or I do also think, we're going to get a little deep here. I think because my parents were so unhappy together, I think that a part of the reason she was like big on celebrations is to kind of distract me from that, which worked. It worked very well. I was like,
you're like, my birthday's coming in 3 months. For I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that might have been part of it too. I never asked her about it. It actually just hit me right now. I was like, I think that might be fun.
We're only like 4 minutes in and we're already getting really
deep.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
which I guess this is something that I've never talked to anyone about because it just hit me right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see what other things we can uncover in that in this next 40 minutes here. So birthday party. I remember it was like a very small school, right? We had, so it was like 150-ish people. So everybody knew everybody's business. Friend groups would break up and then make up and then they would merge and... I remember having English with you in 11th grade, I think, with Milosh. Yeah.
Oh, Malachi. Yeah.
Lord of the Flies. What else did we do? William Butler Yeats.
turning in the widening gyre.
The Falcon cannot see the Falconer. Or here, I don't know.
Something or other.
Something.
Really stuck with me.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only thing I remember from high school is that one ominous line.
Yeah. Seems deep for a high school class, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, clearly it left an impression on us. And then I remember summer reading.
Yes.
Had us a blast.
Yep.
We figured out that, because we had to read like, 6 books or something over a 2 month window or something.
Yeah, something to not let us be children.
Now apparently it's like, we need to let the kids be free and explore. It's like, where was that when we were growing up? It's like, no, you will read the first 10 chapters of this textbook and you'll have a book report on 10 books done and, test on the first day. You have to memorize all the presidents. So I remember we figured out because we had to like take notes in the book as like the deep analysis that we were doing as we were reading, where we would highlight stuff that was important to character development or the plot or whatever it would be. And so we realized that if we just listened to the books on audiobook or tape, I think is what it was at the time, that we could not slow down. And we could do it as a group activity.
Get them through it.
That's right. So I think we did 1984 that way.
Yep. Brave New World.
Brave New World. And so I remember many summer hot days amongst friends reading books. But it's not as cool as it sounds.
False. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then I remember my now wife, Jennifer, was mad because I didn't invite her to any of these parties because I was probably too scared to invite her because, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's how things work, you know. And then I guess one of the highlights of my life with you would be the fact that we had 3 separate occasions of boba on one day.
That was a feat.
Yeah.
That was a feat.
We had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I think the dinner was just out of posterity, so we could say that we did it for every meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I treat boba in a very high regard now because of that.
Yeah.
So
this is a boba rant, but I have not been able to find good boba in Chicago.
It's got to be fresh.
It's got to be
fresh. If it's not fresh, it's got to be like kind of chewy, but not too chewy. And then
I don't want the balls that pop. I don't want those. That might be.
Or have you had the pudding? Have you had like where they like put pudding in there?
No, that seems like tapioca or something.
No, like straight up like a dollop of pudding.
I don't want that in my life.
Jen's all about it. Yeah, Jen's all about it. So anyway, maybe we can try it after this. So let's see. So we went to high school together. We were in choir. We did choir together. That was fun.
Those are definitely some of my most vivid memories. Of you.
Oh, Lord.
I think of high school in general.
Yeah.
Our
academic high school, the most vivid memories we have were of choir and just messing around.
Yeah, the garbage student remembers that the most.
You You weren't a garbage student, Ashley.
I mean, I wasn't great. I just didn't care so much.
Yeah. Well, and in comparison to everybody else that was there, like, if it was, like, a normal high school, you would have been, like, a rock star student.
For sure. And I also, like, yeah, I think the structure of it, mm-hmm. I did not like. I don't like straight-up academics, which I learned later in life. Hence culinary school. Got to do some other things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I didn't thrive in a strictly academic nature mm-hmm. in stuff that I didn't necessarily care about.
Right. Do you think you would still be the person you are today had you not have gone to...
No.
See?
I don't regret going. Mm-hmm. I never regretted going. I just... the learning part of it, I don't think I got everything that I could have gotten out of it.
Yeah.
But that's also on me because, I didn't care.
And I like sleep, so...
But I never got kicked out. So,
that's true.
You know, that's true. And now no one cares about, like, high school GPA. I'm far enough out. So it's like, whatever.
You don't put that on your resume.
Yeah. Exactly. That as makes a 32-year-old human,
yeah.
I don't like, well, I got at least a 3.0.
Ooh.
Right? I don't remember what the threshold was. Wow. It was 2.5 at one point. Like, you know, when we were younger. And then it moved up to 3.0.
It moved up because we had weighted classes.
So I at least had a 3.0. To not get kicked out.
Well.
But yeah. Okay. So high school, I remember most the people.
Yes.
Because that was my most fun time. Our choir memories uh-huh. together, even mm-hmm. though we weren't in a ton of the same choir classes because you were in
Maybe
show.
Uh-huh. No, but, yeah, I think we were in two classes together.
Yeah, when we were younger, mm-hmm. for sure. Like, mm-hmm. it would have been not eighth.
Ninth and tenth.
Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. you moved on to the show choir. But we still got to mess around in rehearsals.
Oh, God. And the epic trip of Hawaii.
And Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Hawaii.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just remember... I have feelings. I don't remember, like, vivid memories. Because I don't know. I have, like, the mind of a... of someone who's done a lot of drugs, but I've done none. I don't know what's up.
I can recall memories and feelings, but
exactly,
not details.
Exactly, but not
okay,
details.
That's fine.
So I remember just, like, messing around with you and being, like, having a lot of fun.
Hold on, you can't just say just messing around, like, in the most strictly platonic way
possible. Of course,
I'm
yes.
just, somebody might listen to this and make some assumptions.
That's true. I remember
you
I was
are an
fooling
engaged
around.
Woman, and I am a married man. So
this is true.
Let's not
this is true.
Create some problems.
I remember being hooligans in the most innocent way possible, because we were very straight laced.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so
yeah,
I just remember, like, at rehearsals, just mm-hmm. kind of like in the auditorium, uh-huh. in the seats, uh-huh. like any time that we. That, like, that you were on, or that you weren't on, or that I weren't on, we would just kind of, like, giggle in the auditorium seat.
Trying to make each other laugh when we're on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was just, like, a ridiculous time of good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a shining moment in my high school years. Because, again, I was trying to find, like, besides the friends I had, I was trying to, like, find beacons of fun. And
yeah.
this sounds deeper than I mean it to, but, like, beacons of happiness. Which sounds super emo.
In the dungeon of death that I was in. No, it was good.
No, it was great. Good. But because my home situation was so, like, murky, my friends, like, you guys carried me through.
Whoa.
For sure.
Okay.
Which I don't think I ever told you guys at the time because
no.
I was very good at hiding it. But, yeah,
wow.
You guys were my saving grace.
Well, speaking of beacons, let's talk about some of our other friends, because I feel like we can't talk about us in isolation, because
no.
we exist in a web of...
intimidating people.
From what we've been described as an intimidating
group. From the outsiders.
although we are probably not intimidating in a traditional sense.
No, not at
it's
all.
It's more of like we have... like war traumas together of we've all lived through this shared experience, and now we are so like
enmeshed
and synced in a level that just to drop into would be like, oh, that's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, it's more of like, do I want to be a part of this weird group?
hey, it's fine.
Hey, and they're in. The people who have made it through are in. It's,
so yeah, we've got maybe like 7 or 8 of us. I don't know if we've ever counted or formally designated people.
Let's do it now. No, we won't. We
no, but just... it's like, there's like 7, 8, 9. I don't know. It ebbs and flows a little bit. But like, so we, most everyone kind of went their separate ways for college. Some stayed local, but every holiday we would get back together. There would always be some shared thing.
Big Bear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Lots of binge watching of, The Office before Netflix was a thing.
Yep.
And not going outside.
But days at a time.
Yeah. And being scared of the beings of the past that were upstairs haunting us. But yeah, we would always like get back together, and it would always be that like miraculous, like, okay, I might've spent six months apart, but it would just be like, oh yeah, so
didn't
how are you doing?
Beat.
It didn't skip a beat, like no awkwardness of like, oh, so how are things? It was just very natural. Mm-hmm. And so I think from when we graduated to now, it's been like, what, 14 years?
Yeah.
But it seems like no time at all, but we've all gone, done great things and seen amazing places and eaten some good food.
Oh, the best.
And then, like, found significant others and gotten married, and some have had kids. And so it's that kind of, like, quintessential, I guess you'd say, story of friends and... It's a beautiful thing. And I guess from that perspective, it is intimidating because I think a lot of people have this perception of what their high school experience was.
Yeah.
And ours was different. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to know that maybe that's what they're a little intimidated of.
Like, I think
the
so.
Fact that they don't have the level of which we've got. And I think we
intimacy.
Just were, yeah, well.
We're very intimate in the, not in a sexy way. Like in a, we're a very intimate group.
Yes, we know.
We know a lot about each other. We still continue to like, we don't just gloss over the nitty gritty of things.
Nah.
I think we do a really good job of like being that weird, like silly group, but also like asking each other questions that like actually matter and like opening up to each other, which I think a lot of people don't do really.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people that have friends, even if they consider them like good friends at any point in time, don't really, they don't want to talk about the stuff they have, like maybe their significant other that they only talk about it with, or maybe a therapist or something, but they don't talk about their friends with it. And I think that we do talk about it with each other.
Yeah, and there's something, it takes that like length of time and level of comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like this whole notion that you're seeing the whole person. And I think for me, one of the like the telltale moments of that was the passing of one of our friend's moms like pretty rapidly. And it was just like full support, like full like show up, and not necessarily kind of keep them in the that headspace, but try to just be there as kind of a sense of normalcy, if that makes sense. And so I don't think it was ever like a, like we didn't discuss a strategy. It was just kind of like, nope, this is
everyone
what it is.
Up.
And it was just like, all right, we're here. And taking care of the various things that we could. And so, yeah, I think it's cool to know, like, at any given moment there could be something that's, like, happens and it's like, okay, we'll all kind of be there in some capacity, whatever whatever is a meaningful capacity. It's not, like, a forced thing. I don't ever get the notion that there's, like, a ulterior motive or whatever. It's always just, like, from a pure place, and I think that's pretty special. And so I think we've heard from, like, people that have been onboarded into the group and significant others that there is that kind of specialness about about it, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one of my biggest regrets is not letting you guys be there for me when my dad passed. I shut down. I was just like, nope. I remember I came here.
Yeah.
I went to the funeral and yeah. I went back and yeah. I didn't tell you guys until yeah. I was gone.
I was like,
I know. It's one of my Hello? Biggest regrets where I didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And it just, that's how I ended up processing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like afterwards I was like, what is wrong with me? Why did I do that? That was very silly of me. But I totally talked myself out of it at the time. I was like, well, my dad wasn't like it's not like it was my mom where you guys all know her.
Right.
It was like my dad, like, you know, no one really knew him, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't give anyone the chance to
yeah
to be there.
Yeah, no, and it's I do remember that and thinking like, okay, well, it's not like we have to be in each other's lives to every capacity. So I was just like, okay, give her space. And so I think that's part of it too. And kind of knowing when to be available, which sometimes I struggle with a little bit because it's like how much, you know, mm-hmm. like, but I think there's a certain level of comfort that we have. I know there's couple friends that have like, I've literally like picked up the floor after relationship issues and other things, that it's just like, you're there when you need to be, and it's mm-hmm. just, all right, it is what it is, and there's no judgment about it. It's just life.
Yeah.
And there will be a series of other things that I'm sure that will happen through the trajectory of all of our lives. But one of my favorite moments, I will say, turning to a slightly happier note, was our 30 friend trip.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't 30 friends, but it was us as friends going on a trip because we were 30.
As people and do.
Tell them where we went, Ashley.
We went to beautiful Greece, and it is... Oh, it's such a highlight. Like, there were no bad moments. Bed bugs there.
Well,
I got bed bugs.
Yeah, that was a bad moment.
But I'm like, whatever, just gloss over. Because I didn't actually get bed bugs. There was a bed bug on our thing.
Yeah, I think the threat of bed bugs
yes.
became part of the story.
Exactly.
I will say in the moment, I wasn't too keen on our accommodations. Because I was like, I have a college degree. I don't need to do this. I don't need to be here. But we did. It was fine. But yeah, I just remember we got like some Airbnbs in Crete, and
mm-hmm.
we saw beautiful sunsets and went to beautiful beaches and ate delicious food.
Yeah.
And had amazing car rides and. boat rides.
You were a pro at the driving at those mountains.
For the record, I was just following Matt, but I remember there was like
great. The
one-way tunnel with like goats, and there was it was pretty epic. But yeah, I hold that in high regard, and I think that it's like experience, right? That we get to experience something together. I mm-hmm. like, don't buy me a pair of pants. Buy me a meal in a far off land, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, shared experiences, I think, are a big part of the reason why we're all so close still. Like, mm-hmm. It would be very easy to just kind of not see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I mean, I live across the country now. I live in Chicago.
Chicago.
And I think yeah. it'd be very easy for me to not... this makes me sad, but like, not be a part of the group anymore. I think it'd be... You know, it'd be an yeah. easy out for everyone to just be like, she gone. Like, never liked her anyway.
And she didn't laugh at my jokes, so she's out.
And yet, I still see you guys, I mean, more often than I see some of my Chicago friends.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, how I like you, could you guys be, more. Well, oh, no, this is public.
Some of. I'm sure there's amazing Chicago
yes,
friends that you
I
have.
Yes, I do have amazing Chicago friends.
But yeah, there's something about the, like, the history of growing up together and, like, coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we treat it in such a way that it's not, like that moment or that kind of period of our lives isn't something that we're necessarily ashamed of. It's kind of just informs who we are and where we are. Like,
yeah,
I think about what would have happened if I hadn't gone to that school. Like, where would I be? Like, just to think about the whole ripple of, like, literally all of my current life was informed by me going to Oxford, and then that meant meeting friends and meeting Jen, my wife, and then going to this one college, and then now working in it. So it's just, it's interesting to think about it in those terms, and how might our lives have been different, or how might have my perspective on the world been different if we hadn't have crossed paths.
Definitely.
At some point. So what are you doing now? What's your day-to-day? What are you're in Chicago?
I am in Chicago. I work in recruiting at a beautiful gym, actually.
Ooh.
Yes. So how did I even get into this? Another ripple effect. So I went to culinary school originally.
Mm-hmm. I remember
and
that.
And it was culinary school actually really helped me with my just kind of being more vocal and expressing myself, because I've always kind of been I've always felt like, besides in our friend group, like if I'm in a public, like I stand out, but not, which is super strange.
Yeah.
Like I'm very commonly the only Black person in a space.
Mm-hmm.
Just by proxy of where I've grown up and where, even in Chicago, which I find weird sometimes, but the areas where I go to in Chicago happen to not have a lot of people of color there.
Okay.
And so I think that being in culinary school, you kind of learn to assert yourself and to be more upfront and forward. And like if people are, especially like working in the kitchen as I'm tiny. It's like, I'm not tiny.
You're a normal sized person, but you're just petite.
I'm petite. You're petite. Yes. I'm average height, though. I've looked this up. I'm 5'4.5".
Sounds like you have some complex about it. Okay.
Oh, I do for sure. And so, yeah, like being frequently the smallest and like the only bleh in the kitchen, people would try and mess with me. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, we are not having
this. Oh, no.
And so that kind of carried into my normal everyday life, which was great. And then so after culinary school, moved back home, then I got invited to move to Chicago with Thelma. And she was going to grad school. I was living at home. And yeah, I said, why not? And said,
yeah, I remember that.
Take a chance. Like, if I don't like it, I can always move back. I thought I wouldn't like it. I thought I would thoroughly dislike it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, I'll see you guys in a year.
Yeah. Because for the record, you are not a fan of the cold.
No, still not a huge fan of it. But I realize that I don't like a lack of sun is what it is. I can deal with cold.
You just like the sun.
I really like the sun.
Well, who doesn't? I mean,
right? Some people that move to Seattle. But yeah,
I'm just in denial.
It's a lack of sun. And so, yeah, I moved there in January. Mm-hmm. It was like the biggest snowstorm that we've seen in the last however long happened was in progress when I moved there.
Yeah.
I remember crunching up to the door of our shared Waffle Castle, as we called it, knee deep in snow. And I remember thinking like, oh, you know what? This isn't so bad. And I don't know why that was my thought, but.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then.
I just remember your bedroom, I'll use air quotes, in Chicago was basically a glorified coat closet.
Oh, yeah. It
fit like a bed and that was it.
It was a cell, for sure.
Yeah.
It was 6x6, maybe. Yeah. No, it was because it was thinner. It was 6x4 or something like that. I remember being able to reach across and touch both sides. And I was like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah,
this
will work.
Yeah, I don't have to pay as much as anyone, right? Okay.
Okay,
let's
good.
Do this. So, yeah, then a year in, I met Drew, my fiancé.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize it was a year. Take me back through that moment.
Through the meeting of the Drew.
Meeting of the Drew.
So I had joined a singles whirlyball league. In a nutshell, whirlyball is a mix of bumper cars, lacrosse, and basketball.
I think that's the most Chicago thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, we can't do things when it's cold out. Like, let's create a sport sport, quote unquote, that we can do indoors in a bar. It's great. It's amazing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I joined a singles whirlyball league. The big catalyst for joining, like, rec leagues for me was I didn't want Belma to think I was, like, glomming onto her. Like, I'm a stalker. I followed you to Chicago, and now I do everything.
And now
do.
I'm with you all the time.
Which neither of us would have minded. But I was like, let me let her have her life so that I'm not just on top of her all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I started joining rec leagues. I joined the singles whirlyball league. And it was four single guys, four single ladies. And the whole league itself is supposed to be made of single people, too. So you all join, and, like, you're just... it's surrounded by singleness. It was great. And I remember the four dudes that were on my team. I remember walking into this, like, space where everyone was seated and seeing these four guys. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
This is my team.
Okay.
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 And so Drew and I hit it off with all of the guys.
So Drew was in the original group.
Yes. Drew was one of the four dudes on my team. And it wasn't ever like a love at first sight kind of thing. It was more like a every week for 2 months on like a, I think it was like a Monday night or something. It was some ridiculous day of the week. We would just meet up in this rec league space and kind of, I was unabashedly myself. There was no like mirror.
No filter.
Yeah, there was nothing up of like, oh, I need to be a lady. Like, I need to make him think that I'm not a garbage person. It was like, I'm going to get real drunk every week for two months. And we're going to play darts and we're going to be competitive on this team together. Uh-huh. And yeah, it just kind of... we just hung out for 2 months straight, basically. Okay. And then in my head, what had happened was after we won the championship.
You're a champion?
Oh, my God. We were like the five-time
five-time whirlyball champion?
We were so good. Yeah. We did it like four more times. Yeah. And so on the championship night, we were a little drinky. Uh-huh. And in my head, I was like, oh, my God, he totally hit on me. He came on to me first.
Ooh.
It wasn't until, like, 2 years later, he was like, you realize you hit on me hard. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, you, like, made it known.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. Yep. That sounds about right.
Oh, when I play the tape back, it does look like that, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Beginning of a, you know, wonderful, wonderful.
So you trapped him with your ways.
With my wiles. Okay. My feminine wiles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that was, so that's 7.5 years ago. It will be 8 years when we get married.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, something wrong with that?
No, nothing at all.
I just remember my first time hearing about this situation that you just described. You definitely painted Drew as the aggressor in the in the relationship.
Sure.
I just remember hearing a shirt ripping.
Yes, and that's what I remembered so vividly.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is not the move of a of a man who stands back. But I had forgotten that beginning bit when I accosted him, basically.
Okay, so it's a different perspective.
Yes, you know, okay. Everyone has their own perspective. I think mine's right.
Wow.
He thinks his is right.
Sounds like a plot of a movie. It's yet to be made. Yeah.
But yeah, so
that's fun.
That's my lovely love of my life and that man. But tell me when you knew you wanted to marry Miss Hennifer.
Miss Hennifer. Her name is not Hennifer, for the record. It's Jennifer.
It is.
So let's see. Jen and I, we met in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As you and I did. Although I don't really remember you in seventh grade.
Mm-mm. I hung out with a different group in seventh grade.
You were like
sure.
way cooler
eighth,
than me in seventh and eighth grade.
Well, sure.
I sat next to the tree by the stairwell. Okay, so clearly that wasn't the prize seating arrangement in the hierarchy of seating. We didn't even qualify for a table. So let's see. We had history. We always had our history class together, which is somewhat funny. I was a ridiculous human when I was 13 and 14. I was trying to impress everybody with my academic prowess, and clearly I failed. And so I was like teacher's pet and all this stuff. And so she got a very clear negative representation of me. And then she moved, and then we started to ride the school bus together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we would spend every day in the mornings going there and back to school. So I think that was definitely part of it, because it was just like, mm-hmm. oh, who is this fine looking lady that's sitting next to me in front, and we're like in the same class. And and there was not that many people in our grade that were on the school bus together. Mm-hmm. And then it just became this like fixation in a weird way. Like, this is going to sound a little creepy, but I like in junior high. No, not junior high. I want to say it was like maybe sophomore year or junior year. I like wrote in her yearbook, but I left like messages as like a search through the yearbook to like find like what the clue was.
Aww.
But she said that she had to white it out because her mom was going to read the yearbook. So it's there, but it's not there. And so I was like trying to like leave messages and hints, but like in the most ridiculous junior high school way possible. I would like ask her friends to ask for me and all that stupid stuff. And then it was like, okay, I wrote her a letter when we went to Hawaii in choir. She wasn't able to go. And so I wrote her this letter and I mailed it to her. And it was just like this open-ended, weird, like, hey thing. And then it was just this weird, like, jockeying back and forth of like, we kind of like each other, but we are like friends. We don't want to lose the friendship. And then it was prom season. And I was like, okay, well, I only get one chance. And so I asked her to prom.
Shot your shot.
I know. I shot my shot. And then that went well, I think. And that went well. And then it was our final choir show. It was like we're getting like to the end of high school. And then I remember I invited her and another friend to Big Bear. And my mom drove us. Because we were 17 or 18 or whatever. And so we're, like, in the van, and her and I are, like, in the van, and we're, like, in the middle seat, and then our friend's in the back seat. And we're playing this, like, stupidly childish, like, high school thing of, like, our hands are ever so close, but not, and there's, like, a whole universe that's happening between the fingers. But it's, like, not, they're not touching, but you could, like, feel the presence. And then it became this, like, oh, my gosh, like, did she touch my finger? Did I touch her finger? Like, so, like, the whole two-hour ride, and then finally towards the end, we, like, ended up holding hands, but we, like, covered it with a jacket. And then I had this whole ploy of, like, how to actually ask her out. And I don't know if you remember this. It was the banquet, the choir banquet.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like, after the banquet, and I had this whole, like, elaborate scheme planned. And so I took her to the riverbed at the time it was. It was just, like, a grassy hill of the river between her house and her parents' house, and asked her out there. And I didn't quite know how to do it.
I mean, do we ever?
And so I just blurted out, I love you. I didn't realize that should be, like, reserved for a later date. And she That's just like though. Kind of like froze and didn't reciprocate the I love you, because it was awkward. Mm-hmm. And then we started dating the very last week of senior year in high school. And from there she went to Cal State Long Beach, I went to to Pomona. We both commuted and just kind of stayed dating, and our lives just kind of grew together. And then she went to New York for fashion school, and I did my whole music thing, and we still stayed together. And there came a moment where it was like, okay, I think that she makes me like a much better person, and like forces me to be who I am and grow and be like the best version of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment it was like, okay, this is the one. And that was like in year 8 or 9 of dating. But nobody should be married at 22.
Yeah,
like,
but you were so young when you started dating. Let's exactly.
And then I asked my mom, because I was like, well, shit, I need a ring. So I asked my mom, like, mom, do you have any like family jewelry? Because she had always like said, like, oh, I've got jewelry in case you need it. I was like, okay. And then so she, like, she had a couple things from my grandma, and there was a perfect ring. I was like, okay, this is the one. And then I decided to, because Jen was living in New York at the time, mm-hmm. I decided to go surprise her with her parents, because her parents had never gone to New York. Mm-hmm. And so she knew I was coming, and so I get there, I open the door, and she's there to greet me, let's say, and I was like, hi, good to see you. Your parents are here. She's like, shit. So she quickly got ready to greet her parents, and so then we went into the city because she was gonna play hooky from work that day. Or no, she went into work, and her and her parents and I, like, took a nap because we did a red eye, and so then we met her in the city, and then I was like, I got to do this, like, straight away, because I'm never gonna, like, I can't, like, hold on to this ring in secret for like the whole trip. So I had a plan of doing it at Madison Square Park, right in front of the Flatiron Building. And of course, the day of, it's raining. It's like, son of a...
Never goes as planned.
It's like in my head, it's like, oh, it's perfect. But for whatever reason, there was going to be a festival the next day. And mm-hmm. so they had set up all these tents throughout the park. And there's a big fountain on the north side of the park, like a round fountain. And they had set up a giant... like stage and tent above it. So there was this huge like tent, and you could see the beautiful like city, and it's all raining in the background. And I was like, this is perfect. So we like got on this tent, and there was like not that many people around because it was the middle of the day on a Friday, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And it was raining. And then, so I was like, this is perfect. So then I like set up like, oh, we're going to take a picture. Let's take a picture. And then of course I'm recording rather than taking a picture, and then I do this whole thing, and there's a song involved. But like midway through, there's a tour that's like walking through Madison Square Park, and so there's like a walking tour, and this guy decides like he's gonna bring his walking tour like onto the platform. And so I'm there like about to like get on bended knee, and this tour guide is like pointing to the building and is like, oh, and over here we have this, and I'm just like, son of a
get out of here.
So we're just like listening. And then I propose, and it was awesome. And then we go to get a meal, and one of the idiosyncrasies about Jen is that she loves dogs, and she loves raincoats on dogs. And so while I was proposing, she noticed that there was a dog in a raincoat that had like walked by, and she thought it was the cutest thing ever. And so we're Kismet. Like recanting the day. What was that?
Kismet.
So then we're recanting what had just happened, and then she, like, in the most emphatic way possible, was like, oh my god, the best thing that happened to me today was that dog in the raincoat. I was like, I just proposed to you, like, 20 minutes ago.
Can we rewind?
Can we remember what we were doing in that moment?
Let's watch the tape.
Yeah, let's roll it back. So that was, I don't think you asked me the whole story about Jen, but I just recanted it all for you.
No, I want more story, though. Had you guys talked about marriage beforehand?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was always like, we knew it was going to be a thing. It was just like the timing.
Got it. So there was no hesitation of like, will she or won't she?
No. Well, no.
Not
no.
in like
I just
a...
don't think she knew like I was going to do it when I did it.
Sure.
Which, and I think for me, it was just like, it just felt right. Like there was no like magical reason why it was or wasn't going to happen or not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, it was always kind of thought about, I would say. Yeah. How about you with Drew? Was it always like was there a premeditation to it? Was there a...
We had talked about it. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't until... We were very childish when we started dating. We were both very immature. We both had our... I don't even know how to say it. We both had our issues coming in.
You know, we all come... into a relationship with a set of issues,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
got to fit those little puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. And so we were both very immature in relationships. And so we really grew together in that sense. So mm-hmm. we didn't talk about marriage for the first few years because I knew I wanted to be with him. He knew he wanted to be with me, uh-huh. but we were like, all right, we got to work through some things first.
Well, I feel like that's the best, like, thing is like working through something, because if it's all like rainbows and sunshine, then
exactly. Mm-hmm. And timing is so much of it too. If I had met that version of him now or vice versa, we wouldn't work, because right now 32-year-old, like, relatively emotionally healthy me would be like, absolutely not. I need someone to meet me where I am.
Well, Ashley, our time is up, and I want to say that you are a dear friend, and I love you dearly. Goodbye.